to Tuned To Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. Mark Levenier, your host for an hour of comedy. Later on, Barbara Stanwyck is special guest on the Charlie McCarthy Show. But right now, an episode of Fibber McGee and Company from March 7th, 1939 on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program. Makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Company with Jim Jordan as Fibber, Donald Novis, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Don't Ever Leave Me. Wistful Vista is the more or less happy home of a new Rendezvous de Sandwich on the corner of 14th and Oak Streets. It's a new hamburger stand, owned and operated, temporarily at least, by our own leader of cafe society, Fibber, you know our hamburgers because we know our onions, McGee.
Let's see, bud. What'd you have? Two hamburgers and coffee. That'll be 30 cents. Thank you. Didn't you want some more coffee, bud? The second cup is free.
Not terrible.
Well, bud, I guess you didn't read the sign.
What sign?
Why, right up there. Coffee like mother used to make. What do you mean, insulting my mother that way?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I gotta make this joint more exclusive. Have to get some tablecloths and scare away the riffraff, I guess. Hey, Chef.
Yes?
I had a complaint on the coffee a minute ago. You sure it's okay?
Oh, sure. I just had four cups myself and I feel all right. Except I can't get my eyes uncrossed.
It ain't the coffee that makes you cross-eyed. Take the spoon out of your cup.
I never thought of that.
Well, don't... Uh-oh. Here comes Mrs. Uppington. Get that griddle hot.
It's hotter than a $2 pistol now, boss.
Oh, May, how do you do, Mr. McGee? Oh, what a quaint little shop, really.
Well, thanks, Uppy. How... Say, you look kind of upset.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am, Mr. McGee. Oh. I suppose I'm just a silly girl, but Horatio and I have... Well, we've quarreled.
Oh.
We've had a tiff.
Oh, dear. A tiff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's tough. But give me the details, Uppy. What has poisoned Cupid's arrows now?
Oh, it was such a trivial thing, Miss McGee. Uh-huh. Oh, it was such a silly thing. Oh, that old oil stock.
Uh-oh.
You see, Horatio was so hurt because my broker refused to permit me to turn in my AT&T for a wonderful investment in Brazilian oil. You see, Horatio is president of the oil company, too.
Yes, I thought
yes.
So.
Oh, such a stupid misunderstanding.
Oh, forget it, Uppy. Why don't you have a hamburger and forget your troubles? A nice, well-did hamburger with onions.
Heavens, how plebeian.
Without onions, then. Better eat something. Remember, many an empty stomach has been mistaken for a broken heart.
Oh, yes, perhaps you're right.
Perhaps sure I am. Come on, grab a stool, Uppy, and order up.
Very well. Now, I think I shall start with some caviar.
Okay, Uppy. Hey, Chef. Rob a sturgeon.
Fish the fish!
What else, Uppy?
Some jellied consomme, I think.
Pea soup with a palsy.
A jitterbug gumbo.
And now for an entree. Let me see. Oh, yes, curry shrimp.
Rub down for a lobster's cousin.
A Swedish massage for a shellfish.
Oh, dear. Any dessert, Uppy?
Yes, a chocolate eclair and a demi-tasse.
Okay. Brunette on a bun and a mug for a midget.
A suntan cream puff and a drop in the bucket.
A dry them tears and take it easy, Eppy. Your hamburger will be right up.
Hamburger?
What, sir?
But really, I didn't want a hamburger.
No, but these hamburgers. Why, listen, Eppy. Do you realize that every cow in the country hopes its kids will grow up to be a McGee hamburger? Boy, for a calf, that's like growing up to be president. I'm telling you, Eppy, you never had such a hamburger.
Please, Mr. McGee. Can't you see that I'm in no mood for this? Oh, dear me, I'm such an unhappy girl. Oh, you'll have to forgive me, Mr. McGee, but really, I simply must go. Goodbye. Goodbye.
You gotta go. Well, I feel kind of sorry for her. It's a terrible thing to find your big moment is really small time. Hey, Chef. Cancel that hamburger.
Okay. Back in the barn. Hello there, Johnny. Need a good dishwasher?
No thanks, old-timer. We use paper plates and throw them away.
Hey!
I says no thanks. Besides, washing dishes wouldn't be good for your rheumatism. You go on and be a little stiff in your own joints.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the other feller, say, them hamburgers smell pretty good, Johnny.
Will you have one, old-timer?
Sure will, Johnny, a little later. What was I talking about? Oh, yes. Says, to see where the Republicans might run this feller Dewey for president. That so, says t'other feller. He got a good record? Sure has, says the first feller. Look what he done at Manila. Make that hamburger of mine with plenty of onions, Johnny. I ain't got a date tonight. Keep it hot for me while I go home and get my teeth.
I'll say he ain't got a date tonight. He may have spring in his heart, but that don't help the fall in his arches. Old curmudgeon.
Hey, boss!
What's the matter, bud?
You know that big can of cream we use for the coffee?
Yes.
Oh, we ain't got much milk left in it.
Okay, I'll order some right away. Hello, operator. Give me the Wistful Vista cream. Oh, is that you, Mert? It's Fibber McGee, Mert. How's everything? Huh? Your old man. Oh, that's too bad. Split his what? Oh, dear, dear, dear. Rushed him right down there, huh? What's that, Mert? 22 stitches, eh? Well, I warned him, Mert. I told him them pants was too tight. Just call the creamy for me, will you, Mert? And tell him to send me over some cream. Okay, thanks, Mert. Oh, hi, Billy.
Hello, Fibber.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Fibber.
Well, have a couple of hamburgers?
No, thanks. I had one this morning and didn't like it. Found a piece of cloth in it.
Why, Don, a piece of cloth in one of our hamburgers? Well, hey, wait a minute. What color was it?
Blue.
I thought so. That was blue ribbon beef you was eating there, boy. What you gonna sing, Don?
I promise you.
Oh, I like that there. You go ahead and sing while I... Oh. Greeting, Gate. What'll you have on your plate? That's from the Hope Show, and we sure hope you like our hamburgers.
Well, I do. I was in this morning and bought six. Fix me up a couple more of them, will you? Just like the last ones. Very thin and very well done. Better make it four of them to go out.
Oh, okay, bud. A quartet for a road show.
One for the griddle, cook it slow, brown in the middle, and four to go.
Take it, Don.
My love for you is as great as a love can be. Yet words couldn't quite express the way that I feel. And as we stand at the doorway of days to be, I faithfully take an oath. Concerns us both. I promise you with heart sincere that I will always love you that when you need me, I'll be here, I promise you. I promise you I'll build a shrine where we can keep our love divine until the very end of time. I promise you, with every dawn that I awaken, I know my chances will increase to keep the vow I've taken, to see that your joys never cease. I promise you your heart will sing in what will seem eternal spring. I'll try to bring you everything I promise you.
That was Donald Novus, folks, singing I Promise You. And very, very good, too, Don. That was one of the best numbers. Oh, hi, sis. Welcome to the Palais Tomain. Sit down and have a McGee hamburger. They're as sweet as a girlfriend the week before Christmas and as tender as our foreign relations.
No, no, thank you. I'm making a special survey. Tell me, do you think the radio will ever replace the phonograph?
Of course it won't, sis.
Why not?
You can't play both sides of a broadcast.
Oh, thank you.
These surveys. I'll bet the reason so many businessmen go out of business is they have to take so much time from business to fill out questionnaires asking them how business is. Wow, some business.
Hello, Fibber.
Oh, hi, Harpo. Have a hamburger?
No, I don't believe I want a hamburger. Haven't you got a nice, juicy steak?
Nice, juicy steak? Why, certainly. How about a big, juicy filet mignon?
Oh, boy, swell.
Okay. Hey, Chef. Saddle a filly for a steak race. They're wrong! You going to be a regular customer, Harpo?
Oh, probably. I eat all my meals out, you know.
Gee, but don't you get tired of that, Harpo? Why don't you get married and settle down?
Well, gee, I proposed to a girl once and she said no.
She did? Maybe you didn't propose right.
Yes, I did. I proposed real nice and on my knees, too.
Well, what'd you say to her?
I said, darling...
Mood music, Mills.
I said, darling, look at this dull, dingy floor. Let me build you a little love nest, and we'll call it Glowcoat Manor. I'll show you how you can keep your floors and linoleum bright and shining with Johnson's Glowcoat, with absolutely no rubbing or buffing to roughen those little hands of yours.
Oh, boy, what passion.
And then I said, think of it, dear. Just to pour a little glow coat on the floor and spread it around with the long-handled applier, and then you and I holding hands on the sofa for 20 precious minutes while the glow coat dries to a beautiful mirror-like polish.
I'd like to have seen the love light in her eyes when you got to the part about saving one-third on the large-size can.
That was the odd part of it, Fibber.
Huh?
She suddenly stood up with a strange look in her eyes and said, listen, Poodle. She used to call me Poodle.
Oh.
Listen, Poodle, she said, where do you get this wonderful Johnson's Glow Coat? And I said, oh, at any hardware store, a drugstore, or the grocery man. And then she was gone.
Oh, and then you never saw her again no more?
Oh, yes, at her wedding. She'd gone right out and married the grocery man.
Oh, I see.
I guess I just don't understand women.
Here's your steak, Mr. Wilcox.
Shall we give you a bone on the side, Poodle?
No, thanks. This will be all... Say, this is a hamburger. I thought you were giving me a nice, juicy steak.
That's it, Harpo. Only we grind our steaks up. That's what makes them so juicy.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah.
What's the matter, boss? Didn't he want the hamburger?
No, I guess not. Put it on a table by the window and I'll eat it myself. Give people passing by confidence in the place to see the boss eating his own victuals. Oh, hi, Bud. Here's the hamburgers you ordered.
Oh, thanks. Fix me a half a dozen more cooked exactly like those others. Thin and well done. Oh. Even better done this time. I'll be back for them later.
Okay, Bud. Hey, Chef. Six hamburgers to go. Thin and well done, and hurry them up.
Six cows. Stampede them.
Hello, mister. Do you need a good cashier?
Yes, it's Zazu Pitts again, folks. The gal with the permanent wave in each hand. What made you think I might need a cashier, sis?
Well, I thought if you had somebody sitting at the desk there by the window, you know, somebody with a... Well, I don't know as I ought to say it myself, but you know, a certain appeal.
Well, that's a thought, sis. You need the job?
Oh, not financially. But goodness, I thought now there is a place to work where a girl can meet some nice men in a refined way. I think sitting there all day long handling money and watching men eat would satisfy both my playgirl complex and my maternal instinct.
Well, I don't know, sis. What experience you had?
Well, my last experience, mister, was at the public library.
Uh-huh.
A very nice man came up to me and said, "What are you doing tonight, babe?" And I thought a minute and said, "Well, I'm going home and rinse out a few things. And then I'm going to church for an hour or so." And then I looked up and he was gone. Another experience
Just
I had...
Just a minute, sis. I didn't mean your romantic experiences. What experience you had as cashier?
Well, I've kept my own budget for years and years, mister.
Mm-hmm.
I'd show it to you, but it's in the same book as my diary. And maybe I might have been a little too frank in a girlish sort of way.
Listen, sis, are you accurate? Can you make change?
Oh, dear, I'm sure I can. My grandfather was a lightning calculator and only made one mistake in his life.
Wow, what was that?
He calculated lightning wouldn't strike him if he stood under a tree in the golf course. We never found anything but his niblick.
Well, that's too bad. But it just takes one stroke to ruin a man's game. Now listen, sis. If you work here, we can't have you eating hamburgers all day long. You realize that, don't you?
No, dear, yes. I don't like hamburgers anyway. Don't you ever serve chicken? We always have chicken at our house.
That's
all. I take the wings, my brother takes the legs, and mother gets the liver, but the heart belongs to Daddy.
We don't seem to be getting anywhere, sis. I'll give you a simple test. Now, suppose I just had a couple of hamburgers at 10 cents apiece, 2 cups of coffee, the second one free, and a piece of pie at a dime. How much would I have to pay?
Nothing.
Why not?
Dear me, you own this place, don't you?
Yes, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you won't do.
Well, all right, but if you change your mind, my telephone number is 476.
476?
Oh, tell me, mister. Is your Mr. Wilcox married?
Why, no, he ain't, sis.
No, mine. He's so nice, too. Where does he live, mister?
At the Wistful Vista Bachelor Apartments. Why'd you want to know where Harpo lives?
Well, it's probably just fate, mister, but do you realize I pass by his house almost every afternoon, starting tomorrow?
How dear to my heart are the scenes of my childhood, when fond recollections presents them to view. But something sure has happened to the old oaken bucket. His story's sad but true. There's a hole in the old oaken bucket, and it don't hold no water no more, no more. There's a hole in the old oaken bucket, buck, buck, bucket, and through it the water does pour. Oh, it was the best tale in the Ozarks, with nary a defect or a fault. Where the hole in the old oaken bucket was put there when Ma shot at Pa. Ma, Pa, Pa
romantic with a hussy on the hill. He thought it was right to help her to the well, by the mill.
Ma didn't think that no reason
for poor Pappy's carrying on. She told him to act like a mountain man,
then she pulled the trigger once again.
There's a hole in the old, old oaken bucket, and it don't hold water no more.
So I plugged the hole with my finger,
and all around it water did pour. Oh, I guess there's no use in denying, the end of our bucket has came. Oh, there'd not be no hole in the bucket
if Ma had a took better aim, aim, aim.
Oh, if Ma had a took better.
That was the four notes singing a Billy Mills arrangement of There's an Aperture in the Old Oaken Container. Well, that was nice going, kids. If I wasn't wrapped up in this hamburger joint, I'd back you in a bucket shop. Now, let's see. I better make out the menu for tomorrow. H-A-M-B-U-R-G-E-R-S. There. That's taken care of. Oh, hi, Boomer.
Good day, Fancy Pants. Good day.
What's this about you and Mrs. Uppington having a falling out? I hope it's nothing temporary.
Quite true, quite true. The dear girl has been badly advised, I think.
That's all.
After all we have in common, she insists on holding her preferred. Yes, yes. And you, nosy Parker, I hold responsible for the lovely creature's financial stubbornness.
Who, me? Why, shucks, Boomer. All I ever said about you was that you was a crook and a bum and the kind of a chiseler that would scrape the gold leaf off the sign in front of the old lady's home. Shucks, I thought that was a real conservative estimate.
Crumbleface, one of these days you will go too far with me. But I'm not the one to hold a grudge. No, not Horatio K. Boomer. By the way, how is my credit for a hamburger?
Bad, Boomer, bad. No dough, no grub.
I was afraid of that. Only reason I ask, I don't believe I have anything smaller with me than a $100 bill.
That's so. Well, let's see it.
Oh, certainly, certainly. Have it right here. Someplace. Let's see. Now, where did I put that $100 bill? $100 bill, $100 bill. Beautiful sound, isn't it? $100 bill. How would I put that bill? Here's a personal letter from a collection agency. Very affectionate, too. A little squeeze in every paragraph. Driver's license for a man named Dillaway. Seemed to have driven his car away by mistake. Must have been an important citizen, too. Had a motorcycle escort behind me for 12 miles. Let's see, letter opener.
What do you mean, letter opener? That's a tea kettle.
It's still a letter opener, Potato Bug.
Well, come on, Boomer, the $100 bill or no hamburger?
Ah, yes, the $100 bill. Where can I have put it? Invitation to a reception, small affair. No one there, had to crawl in through a window. Gold wristwatch, birthday present from little hula dancer. Beautiful movement, too. Tope with gray hair. Always wear that when I want to worry about something. And a check for a short beer. Well, well, imagine that. No $100 bill.
Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah, I wonder what I could have done with it. Too bad if I lost it. It was made by a dear friend of mine. He ran off 10 of them and then ran off. Somebody hollered, cheese it, and he welched the rabbit. Well, good day, son of Frankenstein. Good day.
What a guy. The minute I seen him get a load of Uppy's diamonds, I knew that romance was headed for the rocks. Oh, well, I don't suppose there's anything.
Hello there. My hamburger's ready.
Oh, you betcha, bud. That'll be 60 cents. Thank you. I certainly appreciate your trade, bud. You're my best customer. Hope you come in often.
Oh, I will. Your hamburgers are just right for me. Fried, well done, and thin.
Oh, that's fine. You say you got a shop near here?
Yeah, right down the street.
What kind of work do you do that makes you so hungry?
Hungry? Oh, I don't eat those things. I'm a cobbler, and I use them for half sole.
Half sole. Folks, we want to thank America's number one glamour girl, Zazu Pitts, for appearing on our little hamburger barbecue tonight. And incidentally, we don't like to do the same kind of a show 2 weeks in succession, but don't be surprised if we're back at my sandwich parlor again next Tuesday night, March 14th. Our income tax man is insistent on a joint return. Good night, folks.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. Deborah McGee and Company has been presented from Hollywood's Radio City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber, McGee and Company, on Tuned 2 yesterday, an episode from March 7th, 1939 on NBC. If you're a fan of Fibber McGee, then you know that for many years and most of the time while he was on the air, Fibber, or Jim Jordan, was joined by his wife Marion as Fibber McGee and Molly. For a period of 18 months, the public was told that Marion Jordan was suffering from fatigue and needed to take time off of the air, when in all actuality she was in an alcohol rehabilitation center. And when she returned from her prolonged absence in April of 1939, according to members of the cast, she was much stronger and brighter, although a change in the script was necessary, and that was to have no alcohol mentioned in the show. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, and on time for the Charlie McCarthy Show with Edgar Bergen at the helm from May 2nd, 1943 on NBC. Special guest on the program is actress Barbara Stanwyck.
Jason Sanborn Coffee and Tenderleaf Tea present Edgar Bergen, Bill Thompson, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Dale Evans, the sportsman, our guest, Miss Barbara Stanwyck, and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Dale.
Hiya, Charlie.
I'd kiss you hello, but I'm afraid my mustache might tickle you.
Charlie, don't tell me you're growing a mustache.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah. Today I am a mess. I mean a man. I decided to let it sprout. Haven't you noticed it?
Well, I see a little fuzz, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, but that's it. That's it. I feel so distinguished. Don't I look like a man about town?
No. You look more about a boy about 12. Charlie, does Edgar know about this?
No, he hasn't seen it yet. I want to surprise him.
Well, he'll be surprised, all right.
Yeah. Well, you and Ray go ahead with that canteen bounce, and I'll go outside and wax it up a bit. You know?
Well, all right.
Dancing on the floor, shout for the canteen bounce.
Now when they get into the mood, they don't want to
isn't time for eating, just for beating to the canteen bound.
Jumping like a jumping bee. Now
you ain't seen no dancing till you see
the canteen bomb.
Hey, Charlie, has Bergen seen your mustache yet?
No, not yet.
Well, here he comes. Let's go show it to him, huh?
Yeah. Well,
Charlie, don't push me.
Well,
don't push me.
Oh, Bergen.
Yes, Charlie.
Well?
Well?
Well? Well?
Well?
How do you like it?
How do I like what?
Well, can't you see something different about my face?
Let me see. Look good, yeah. What did you do? Wash behind your ears?
Yeah. Oh, nothing as drastic as that.
No, I...
Can't you see?
Well, Charlie, what are you talking about?
Well, look at it, Bergen. You can see it just as plain when you get it in the right light.
You can.
Yeah.
See what?
Oh, it's on my upper lip.
What?
Oh, hunk of lip letters.
What?
Kiss her head.
Yeah. You mean a mustache?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, just call me Bristlepuss.
I see.
Oh, Fuzzy Chomp, that's me.
So you're growing a mustache?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Why should you want a mustache?
Well, I've heard that mustaches are very attractive to, women of the opposite sex.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. So now it's girls.
Yeah, but none of that kid stuff, though.
Oh, I see.
No. I'm getting interested in, more sophisticated women.
I see.
Women about 14 or 15.
Oh. Well, Charlie, don't you think you're just a little bit too young to be growing a mustache?
But, Bergen, it's nature.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's life. You can't fight those things.
I see.
Now, don't you think that shaving 3 or 4 times a day will make my mustache grow faster?
Well, I'm sure it will need something.
Yes, I... Huh?
Yeah. You ought to do something to encourage it.
Yes, I maybe should put a little B1 on it.
Well, why don't you try some of my hair tonic on your lip?
Yeah. Your hair tonic?
Yes.
Oh, you amuse me. You still believe, don't you?
Yeah. Say, you know, Ray Noble has a mustache. Perhaps he can give you a few pointers on it.
Yeah?
Oh, Ray.
Yes,
go on, sir. Oh, we must ask you a question.
Yes, Charlie.
How did you grow your mustache, Ray?
Oh, mustache.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, Charlie. As a matter of fact, I got it on the installment plan.
On the installment plan?
Yes. A little down each week.
Oh, that's pretty bad, wasn't it?
Did it take you very long to grow it, Ray?
Oh, no, Edgar, no. It came rather natural, if anything.
I see.
You see, the men in my family have always sported, shall we say, hirsute adornments.
Hirsute adornments.
Hirsute adornments.
Well, twirl my toupee.
As a matter of fact, Charlie, my uncle Persimmon had such a long beard that one day while running for a streetcar, his beard got in the way and he ran clear up to his chin before he could stop.
Oh, well.
Will you get out of here and bring back some money, too?
You know, Charlie, the fact that you want to grow a mustache makes me feel a little bit sad.
Well, why, Bergen?
Well, maybe I'm being selfish, but I hate to see you grow up, Charlie.
No. You hate to see me grow up?
Yes. Yes, I do. Well, what other direction could I go? No. No, what I mean is I have a feeling that I'm losing my little boy. You see, Charlie, your pranks and your boyish laughter have kept me young.
You mean that, Bergen?
Yes, Charlie. You must realize, too, that I won't always be with you.
What do you mean?
Well, you know how I wait for you to come home from school and the fun we have?
Yeah, we do have fun, don't we?
Yes. Well, of course, that won't always be.
No?
The time will come when you won't find me around the house.
You mean you're going to work?
No, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, Bill Thompson, our noted news commentator, is in Gravel Knob, the capital of Flageria, waiting to give us news of world importance. Through a special two-way hookup, we take you now to Flageria and Bill Thompson.
Hello, Edgar. Hello, America.
Hello, Bill. How's everything in Flageria?
Just fine, Edgar. This happens to be Flageria's national holiday, Donkey Neck Monday, which occurs immediately 3 Tuesdays before Bus Stop Thursday. The ceremonies are now starting with a Flagerian band conducted by Herb Harmonic, who is a cousin of the noted American conductor, Phil Harmonic. Here comes the band. That was that old black magic. The Flagerian version, of course. I guess they're not ready yet. Got their young caught in the door. Well, while we're waiting, we'll hear an address by the Honorable Garter T. Stumphead, who is the Minister of Popular Mechanics. As such, he is in the Flagerian cabinet, the Honorable Stumphead. Well, I guess he can't get out of the cabinet, so we'll continue.
Wait a minute, Bill. What was the Minister Stumphead? What was he going to talk about?
Well, he was going to tell us about the main Flagerian industry, which at the moment is going at full speed. In fact, their business is top.
What do they manufacture?
Top.
We're ready with the news from the scientific front, Mr. Thompson.
Oh, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now to the laboratory of the great Flagerian scientist, Professor Scalpel Sulfanilamets, who is in the midst of an experiment that will enable a beaver to talk. This is an extremely delicate operation. We must have complete silence. Go ahead, Professor.
Good evening. I'm mixing up a serum now that I hope will make this beaver talk. I got a little fat beaver here sitting on a board in front of me. It's a beaver board. Now, I'll just give him a shot of serum. Hold still, beaver. Easy now, steady. There. That does it. All right, now, little fella, say something. Oh, come on now, darn it. Everybody's listening. You've got to say something.
I just can't think of a thing to say.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Professor Sulfanilamets. And now let's go back to see how the gremlins are getting along. Take it away, parachute talk. Well, go ahead and yump.
No, you yump.
How about yumping near me? You yump, then.
No, no, sir. You yump first. You have the parachute on.
Well, all right, then. Okay, sissy. Here I go there. You yump. Well, they're still not ready, I guess. So, in the meantime, we take you to Mambuzi, West Africa, where we hear a native tribesman sending messages by means of ancient jungle drums. Take it away, Africa.
Anybody else got a message to send?
Boy, I have. Will you send this one?
Can't send this.
Why not?
Can't send no birthday greeting.
Thank you, Mambuzi. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as we're in Africa, let's hop over to Tunisia. Behind the Axis line, we hear General von Sauerbraten addressing the men of the Afrika Korps.
Eine Stellfleit in der Afrika Korps. Und der Afrika Korps in der Stuttfleit in der Afrika Korps in Dresden. Eine Stellfleit a few weeks ago, the American General Eisenhower said he would push us into the sea. He would push us into the sea. Well, what are we waiting for? Last one in is an old sausage.
Whenever she's in love, sings Dale Evans, it's always you. Whoever you may be, he's a lucky guy.
Whenever I see a twilight, I watch till a star breaks through. Funny, it's not a star I see, it's always you. Whenever I roam through roses, and lately I often do, funny, it's not a rose I touch, it's always you. If a breeze caresses me, it's really you strolling by. If I hear a melody, it's merely the way you sigh. Wherever you are, you're near me. Why you dare me to be untrue? Funny, each time I fall in love, it's always you. If a breeze caresses me, it's really you strolling by. Now if I hear a melody, it's merely the way you sigh. Wherever you are, you're near me. You dare me to be untrue. Funny, each time I fall in love, well, every day I fall in love all over again with you. Every time I'm in love, it's all.
Reminds me of an incident a few years ago. I was 3 days out from the boathouse in Central Park when our ship lost its rudder. We floundered for 3 days. It was some of the nicest flounder I ever tasted.
Hello, Charlie.
I was, well, hello, Barbara Stanwyck. Babs.
Oh, Charlie, what do you know?
Oh, things and stuff.
What's new?
Well, stuff and things.
I see you're the same old Charlie.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget the first time Warren Brett
came. Oh, yes, yeah. Well, that's understandable, right? I'm a handsome blighter, ain't I?
Remember, Charlie, in those days your salary was only 75 cents a week.
Yeah. <That's pretty good.
laughs> Tell me, what are you getting now?
Now?
Yeah.
75 cents a week. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how you get along on it. Yeah. Are you making both ends meet?
Well, yes, but as soon as I do, somebody moves the ends.
Charlie, I sympathize with
you.
Thank you. I know what it's like to have the wolf at the door.
Yeah. Oh, has Bergen been bothering you?
Charlie, what you need is a manager.
A manager?
Uh-huh.
Me?
Yes, just place yourself in my hands and I'll put you on a solid basis.
Yeah. You lean on the rocks.
No, you let me talk to Bergen and believe me, I'll get you a pretty penny.
How about some ugly old dollars?
Well, I'll get you some of those too.
Yeah?
Why, Charlie, you're terrific. You're sensational.
Yeah?
You're dynamite.
Do you really think so?
No, but that's the kind of hooey I'll hand Bergen.
Oh. Yeah, well, now, wait a minute.
No, let's not waste time. Is it a deal?
Well, I don't know. Okay, okay. Draw up a verbal contract and I'll sign it.
All right. Now, of course, for my services, I,
Yes?
Well, there's the question of money.
Isn't there always? What do you usually get for a shakedown like this?
Oh, well, we'll divide it evenly.
Good.
60-40.
Yes. What's even about that?
Well, they're both even numbers.
Oh, yeah, so they are, yeah. I suppose I get the 60, naturally.
No. Huh? You get the 40.
That's pretty good. Whatever made me think I got the 60? How silly.
Yes. Oh, never mind that. Let's get to work on Bergen.
Yeah.
Bring on the old tightwad.
Yeah, let's get the old cheapskate, huh? Hey, Bergen.
Yes, Charlie?
Come here. Meet my new manager, 60% Stanwyck.
Oh, I see. Your new manager.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Mr. Bergen, as Charlie's manager, I demand an increase in our allowance.
Yeah.
And we won't take no for an answer.
We want dough, not no.
Yeah. Now, just a moment. This comes as rather a surprise.
If you're surprised now, wait till you hear what we're asking. What are we asking?
We're asking for $10 a week.
$10 a week? Why, that's ridiculous.
Mr. Bergen, let's not beat around the bush. My client, Mr. McCarthy, is the important member in this outfit.
Yeah.
What are you in this combination anyway? Just a stooge.
This is the happiest moment of my life. Him there.
You bet I will.
Show him no mercy.
Now, do you realize how much you owe Charlie?
Yeah. Where would you be without me? Yeah.
Well, where would you be without me?
Why, that darn thing never does come out right, does it?
Miss Stanwyck, I'm afraid what you asked is out of the question.
Oh, now wait. Mr. Bergen, put yourself in my client's place. Haven't you ever needed money? Needed it so badly that you'd stoop to anything to get it?
Well, yes, I have.
All right, what did you do?
He took up ventriloquism now.
Never mind that.
Edgar. Oh, Edgar, think of what may happen if you refuse to help this poor boy.
Yes.
For want of the bare necessities of life, why, he may be forced to steal.
Oh, hungry.
To become a hardened criminal.
Yeah.
An outcast.
Nobody talks in here.
No, an enemy of society.
I'll be in jail or
yes.
something.
Yes, even a murderer.
No. So long.
Charlie, where are you going?
I'm going to give myself up. You made a murder out of me, Bergen.
Oh,
what you did.
Charlie, come back here. Mr. Bergen. Mr. Bergen, do you realize my client would have walked out on you long ago?
Yeah.
If it weren't for his incredible loyalty and stupidity.
That's telling him. Or is it?
Mr. Bergen, this is positively your last chance. Will you or will you not increase our allowance to $10?
I will not.
I knew it wouldn't work.
Oh, don't worry, Charlie. I've got him going.
Yeah, but in the wrong direction, you got him.
Don't be silly. Don't give up, Charlie. We'll arbitrate.
Settle for less.
Yes. Now, Mr. Bergen, what will you give?
Well, I might consider a 25-cent raise, but no more.
Oh, 25 cents? Oh, did you hear that, Charlie? Oh, I asked for a $10 increase, and he wants to give 25 cents.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's take it.
Hey, it's a deal.
Good.
Well, there you are, Charlie. Now you get a whole dollar a week.
Woo-wee! And I owe it all to you, manager.
Well, no, not all of it.
Huh?
Just 60%.
Oh, yeah. That's right, just 60%. 60 cents, and I get the... Wait a minute. Now. That only gives me 40 cents a week now.
That's right.
I've been taking like an aspirin here.
Thank you.
with us again next week when Charlie and all of us will be on hand to greet our special guests, Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton, and the eminent psychologist and author of Let's Explore Your Mind, Dr. Albert Edward Wiggle. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, May 3rd to 9th, all over the United States and Canada, is National Restaurant Week. And this year, it has a special significance, which its sponsors sum up in this theme. For victory, work more, sleep more, eat well, be well. Buy more war bonds and stamps. Remember, National Restaurant Week, May 3rd to 9th. Being seen in Lady of Burlesque. This is Buddy Twist saying goodnight from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Charlie McCarthy Show, untuned to yesterday from May 2nd, 1943, an NBC broadcast. Bringing the curtain down on this hour of comedy, untuned to yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.